Today's Mishnah and Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Rishon and the final Mishnah, Mishnah Tet. So, we've been talking about the interrelationship, remember, of the Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and the way in which, if there's mixtures between them, how one would affect the other. And we want to continue that, but we want to add a little bit of complication. So the complication that we're going to add has to do with a fundamental halacha, which, as usual, the Mishnah doesn't tell us now. It assumes that we know it, but we're only going to get to it later on in the second parak. And that is very important, then, which is that, I hope Kavi is still here, and that is Sheni Shebechulin. And this is a Mishnah we have later on. Sheni shebechulin is metame mashkin chulin liyos tchila. Okay, so what that means is that you can even be metame mashkin of chulin, and those mashkin, remember one of the very important early gezeres on the Rabbanan, was that anything which is liquid becomes always a rishon l'tumah. So no matter what touched it, meaning no matter what that was tame and had the ability to be metame, touches it, it's always itself going to be tame as a rishon. So that's, first of all, halacha of a sheni. Now, furthermore, we also know that a sheni shebechulin is able to pasul oichle truma or oichlin of truma. So it makes, even though Sheni Shebechulin can't make a Shlishi Shebechulin, it doesn't do anything to Chulin, but if it touches Truma, it will actually pasul, not be Metame, but pasul that Truma for eating, or if someone is Roy Lachila's Truma, it will pasul him from eating the Truma. So it will make this, and that was dependent already on special halachas, which we'll talk about later, but pashas, if we're talking about the food stuff, ochlin, they become a shlishi. And now there's a new halach. Shlishi shebetruma can be metame mashke kodesh, liyos tchila. So that means that even truma, which is only possible if it comes into contact with kachim, then it can be metame kachim, and therefore, if the kachim is mayim that are kodesh, meaning that they were made al tairas hakodesh, they will become tchila, and eichlin of kodesh will become possible to eat and will become a revi. Now that means that anything that passels truma, which we were talking about, let's say yadayim or so, or any sheni letuma, will be mitame mashka of both chulin and mashka of truma to be a rishon. And anything that pasels kodesh, which would only be a shlishi, that would make a reviv a kodesh, will be mitame mashkin, but only mashkin of kodesh to be a rishon. But the important thing is that a shlishi betruma will not be mitame mashkin of truma, because you cannot pasul truma with a shlishi. Fine. So that would mean that there's no way for mashkim that are not themselves kodesh to be nifsalim at all through touching truma that is pasul. The only time that would happen is if the mashkim were kodesh mashkim and not mashkim of truma. Now that leads to a fascinating situation, which is a big machlokas rishonim, how to learn it. I shouldn't say only rishonim, because basically the way that most of the mafarshim end up learning it is essentially the way that the Gro learns it, and we'll talk about the alternatives in a moment when we finish the Mishnah. But the point of the Gro's approach in this Mishnah is that the mayim, which becomes tome from something that would make them into a rishon, will be metame the very thing that made them into a Rishon to make that thing a Sheni. So if we have Shlishi, which was attached and had in it water that was already Kodesh, then the Kodesh water would become a Rishon and would turn that Kikar, which was a Shlishi, into itself a Sheni. That is the Chap of the Groz approach. The Rambam does not hold of such a concept. If something was Mekabel the Tumah from the very thing which was a Shlishi, and its mind that is Kodesh, that is now a Rishon, it will not turn the object itself that it was Mekabel the Tumah from back into a Sheni. Therefore, the Rambam learns the entire Mishnah on a completely different basis. So let's first take the really cute basis, the way that the Gra understands the Mishnah, and we'll read it like this. Are you there with me? I mean, I do see a couple of faces. Hey, be nice to know that there's more people with me, because these are such lovely asidas. I would love to see all those smiles across the board. So at least in the Bavli today, at least I saw Naftali in his pictures. There's always a little picture embedded there of Naftali if you know how to get to it. But you have to be friends in order to actually get him to sign through. But here I wasn't getting anything. Ah, we got Moshe Andel. Look at this. Okay. So now we're ready to engage.
I will comment on behalf of the Tzibur that if Rebbe would have told us where he was reading from, we would have read that all together. We would have got grounded a little bit better. And then
Reading from Perek Beis, as I told you, I should have told you the Mishnah. Perek Beis Mishnah Vav is what I read to you from. I apologize. You're absolutely right. So sorry. Okay. So now let's take a look at the cute case, according to the way the Gra learns it. So we have these Kikrot of Kodesh. Okay, they have Kikrot of Kodesh. My gosh, I mean, there's tons of stuff that could be Kikrot Kodesh. So we've got, Trumas Lachmei Teda. We've got the things from the Nazir that were brought with the Nazir. We've got the Lechem Aponim. We have Eni Korban Mincha. We've got the Shtei Alechem. The list goes on and on. All right, so we've got these Kikrot of Kodesh. And what's interesting is that there's always like little places where water can get placed inside of these Kikarot. So it's like wet on top. And B'toch Gumoteyem, inside of the puddling area, so to speak, of these Kikarot, which are not smooth, there was Mayim Mekudashim. So this was Mayim that was going to be used for Kodesh, and therefore was Mayim Al Taras HaKodesh. And that would be a case where it would, of course, be Mekabel from a Kikar that was Tameh, and it would the Mayim itself would become a Rishon. So if one of these Kikarot, and then we've got a pile of these Kikarot, each one of these Kikarot is in contact with other Kikarot. So if one of these Kikarot becomes Tameh with a Sheretz. Now we're going to see it does not have to be with a Sheretz. The truth is it could have been any level of Tumah, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But it actually touches a Sheretz. And what happens is that every last Kikar in this pile, anything that's touching any other Kikar, no matter how many steps away it is, everything is going to be Tameh. Why? Because the Kikar that became Tameh initially became a Rishon LeTumah, because it was in touch with a Sheretz. And then it would obviously, once it's a Rishon LeTumah, it's going to be Metame, the Kikar that is touching it. We're not going to come out to water in that case. That Kikar is going to become a Sheni. Now, a Sheni would also be Metame, a Kikar of Kodesh, to make it a Shlishi. Ah, now, once it's a Shlishi, it is going to be Metame, the Mayim that's on the Kikar, and it's going to turn that Mayim into a Rishon. And that's because of the Klal that we're going to learn later on, which we've had many times before, and that is a Gavi Klal. Kol HaPosel B'Kodesh Metame Mashkin Kutkochim Liyos Tchila. So since a Shlishi can be Metame in the sense of Paseling, making a Revi, which is only Pasel, for Kodesh, it also will automatically make Mayim Kachim worse than possible. it will not only passel them, it will turn them into this gezerah of any, this is one of the malas pekedesh, is that that water becomes a rishon. Once that water becomes a rishon, then it turns around and makes the kikar that was itself only a shlishi, it turns it into basically a sheni, because it's a rishon, and it's touching the very kikar that was touching it. So now it goes back, and it turns that kikar into a sheni. This is the chap of the Gros approach to the Mishnah, which the Rambam rejects. Okay.
So it works like a chain reaction. It's not that I'm looking at all the kikars as one. It's ba 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 ba.
Yeah, yeah, in that sense, it's a chain reaction. But chain reactions are usually geometric. That's not what happens over here. You know, this is sort of a modern Israeli chain reaction where we've got moderators, which are called United States rods that are stuck down in between every other plane, you know. So that's a moderator. So we don't really get a chain reaction, but we're looking forward to the real chain reaction. So therefore each one of them will end up being a sheni, and a sheni will pass to the next one, and then the next one will turn the water on it into a rishon, and it'll become a sheni, and pass to the next one. Okay. Now, if we were talking about kikrot shel truma, now none of this would happen, because something which is pasul for truma will not be matami mashkin liyos rishon at all, because a pasul for truma is not matami anything, and therefore, in this case, the truma, all maximally that we could do, starting with the sherets, that's why we take the case of the sherets. So the maximum that we could do, starting with the sherets, would be to go down two levels in truma, rishon v'sheni, and posel echad, shlishi. The shlishi would only be posel. A shlishi b'truma cannot posel the mayim, be metami the mayim to make it a rishon, can't have any effect on the mayim, and therefore the reaction stops right then and there. So that's the most that we can do. So the sherets that touched one of the kikarot can now go down to be metami two, and then the third one will only be posel. So the first one becomes a rishon. That rishon touches the one next to it and makes it a sheni. And the third one, which touched the sheni in truma, becomes pasul. But the word pasul means that it cannot go any further, because a shlishi is not osaravi, and a shlishi betruma is not mitame even mashkim that are kosher to truma. Of course, if there would have been mashkim that were kachim, now that's different, because then a shlishi betruma can actually pasul kodesh. But we're not talking about kodesh here. Everything was done for truma, and therefore the mashkin does not turn into a rishon, and therefore the reaction stops here, because there's nothing more that can be transferred to any of the kikarot, and from this point on, everything is tar. Now you understand why we opened the Mishnah with a case of a sheretz, which we didn't need to do. So we opened with a case of a sheretz because of this part, because of the truma part. So we wanted to know that even if we start with an avatuma, we start with the sherets, the most that you're going to be able to do is to be metame two additional kikarot, and you'll end up stopping with a psul on the third. The resha, which said sherets, was absolutely unnecessary, because we could have said the first kikar you touched with stam yadayim, and they weren't even tameis. What would be the din? Stam yadayim are considered to be sheni. And even so, every last one of the kikrot would have been tamei, because the first one would already become a shlishi, because it came in touch with yadayim, which have a din of a sheni, and that shlishi, since we're talking about kodesh, would have been metame, the mayim kachim on it, to be a rishon, and that would have started our chain reaction, in Barnea's words. So that would have anyway been metame anything. So very far from needing the source to be an avatuma, sheretz. We didn't even need it to be a rishon on the tuma. It could even have been stam yadayim, And nonetheless, we would have ended up with the same halacha, except we wouldn't have had this nice, cute ending of being able to tell me the maximum that an equivalent case would have been able to do in Truma would have been to be Metame Shnayim and to Pasel Echa. So in that case, look, the first kika that touches those yadayim becomes a shlishi, is Metame the Mashkin, which makes it a sheni, and then this goes on no matter how many there are, ad infinitum. So that is obviously a little bit misleading, but now we understand why it said sheretz, but it was really completely irrelevant to begin the Mishnah Dafka with sheretz. But in a case where there's actually mashke tofeach, so then if between the various kikarot that are in touch with each other, not huddled on top of the kikar, but on the edge of the kikar, which is in touch with the kikar next to it, if there you have mashke that is tofeach, there's a machlokus over here, whether we mean tofeach amenat lahatpiach, or do we mean just tofeach? The din of tofeach, remember, there's two different types of a tofeach. A tofeach means that it's damp. It could mean it's damp enough to leave a roshem on your finger when you touch it, in which you can still sense dampness on your finger, or it could be just tofeach that it itself is damp, but once you take your finger away, there won't be any moisture left on your finger. That's machlokas of what level of mashke tofeach we mean over here. But in any event, if it's tofeach, so then the same halacha would be true, even b'kikrot shel truma, and everything would become tamei, not because of this fancy idea of the mashke being able to go and make itself, the kikar itself, more tamei than it was, but very simply, since in this case, the mashke is the agency of the tuma directly. So when the mashke is mekabel its tuma from the kika that touches it, then it itself is chayzer liyot rishon, and there it makes the next one a sheni and so on. And that would be metame all the way down. So this would continue going down to the next level, one after the other. And now the question over here
means it's independent of the kikar. That's what Rebbe meant by the agency.
Right.
I don't need the kikar. That's just
the
working on
the first cases. I needed to make the kikar itself tame, right? And then that kikar would now go and be metame the next thing. But in this case, it's not going from the kikar to the next kikar. It's going from the mashke to the next kikar. Is what's
and
happening.
All the mashke is connected, so to speak, because it's all being tofeach. So it's spreading through the liquid medium without needing the step of the bread.
It does, exactly. It's going directly through the liquid. Right. So, all right. The question over here is, if you don't hold of that svara that the Gra says, and you go, you learn it like the Rambam, then the whole Mishnah doesn't seem to make any sense. If the mashke cannot be metame, the kikar back to make it more than it was originally, when, I mean, this is really a violation of the conservation of tuma and matter, right? I mean, how do you get more tuma than when you started from? If you only had the tuma in the kikar, and now you want to be machmer on the mashke, but how can the mashke give back to the kikar more tuma than the kikar gave it? So that's the little bit of the problem, and apparently is the source of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gra. But how in the world does the Rambam understand the sugya if he doesn't hold that the mashke can make any difference? It's so weird. What was the point? So the way that the Rambam understands it is entirely different. The Rambam understands that the entire Mishnah is based on a new halacha, which is called Chibat HaKodesh. Now, we know that there are many chumras that we are gozer because of the chavivut of Kodesh, meaning something that is Kodesh is on such a high madrega that it strikes us as being already roi to things that otherwise it wouldn't be. So, for instance, if you have Chibat HaKodesh, you don't need Hechsher. What we say is Chibat HaKodesh Machsharto Lios Oichle. So that's another Gavi Klal. If something has that chashivas, normally, until something is actually wedded by one of the Shiva Mashkin, it doesn't have a din of Eichlin yet, because it's still just sort of raw botanical matter. But if something was set aside for Kadesh, then that Kedusha on it gives it an extra chavivas so that it doesn't even require any additional work, so to speak, to make it Kadesh. So the way that the Rambam understands the sugya is that there's another concept of Chibas HaKodesh. And the way that Chibas HaKodesh works is that in this case, it makes the entire kikar as if the kikar is covered with that water. So whatever chashivas the water had on the kikar is automatically extended to the kikar as a whole because of its Chibas HaKodesh. And therefore, what we have, for all intents and purposes, is touching directly to the mayim, which is metame. And therefore, in such a case, one would be metame, the other. And if we have, in the case where we don't need to come on to Chibas HaKodesh, because the mashka actually is in touch between one and the other, so then that's what we're pointing out, is the contrast between the Chiddush of Chibas HaKodesh being an extension, as if they are all covered, which is a very brand new halach and Chibas HaKodesh that the Rambam Mamish bases on this exact situation. That's how he learns it out. So because of that, this new concept of Chibas HaKodesh would give it a din as if it's covered in Mashkin. And if it's Truma, so then it would have to actually be covered in Mashkin, so to speak. And it's because Chibas HaKodesh is Osehu, as if the Mashke is all over the Kikar, and you're touching a Risha. It doesn't matter whether you're actually in touch with the Mashkin itself. Tremendous Chiddush. Okay.
Rebbe, the modern language here is fantastic, in modern, because it's Gumosehen, means it's siloed. The idea of everything being separate and not connected. So the Rambam is saying, even though it's siloed and separate, we will extend it and view it as all connected, as if it was Mashke Topeah, right? It's what companies look for now. We weren't thinking together because we were siloed. So get out of your silo and
I'm not familiar with the language, but I hear.
Yeah.
So now this requires one additional understanding, and that is that there's also a klal that Chibas HaKodesh, once it's Batame, this Mashkin, so there is, Mashkin has no minion, is the way the Rambam puts it. Okay, so that is a different way of saying Mashkin is Chozer Lios Rishay, is that Mashkin in Moni Behem Rishon Sheni Vishlishi, which is an extension of the way we would have said it in Masechet Pora. And the way the Rambam, the Lashon of the Rambam here, in actually Yochas Tumas Eichlin, is that Kulam Rishain Letuma Mipnei HaMashke Shebegumot VeChibat HaKodesh. So if we put the two together, they're all considered to be one thing with that Mashke, and therefore Kulam KeMashkin SheEin Monim Bam Rishain VeSheni. That's the way that he puts it. I mean, I'm adding Rishain VeSheni, but just uses the word SheEin Monim Bam. Okay, excellent. I thought we would also be able to begin, but no. All right, so we'll get to the next case, Ezrat Hashem, starting the new parak tomorrow. Not an easy parak, but an exciting parak. Okay, hopefully, b'surot tovot to all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being here. See you, Bezrat Hashem, very soon. Yeshua Hashem, keheref ayin. Shias ha'mecho, borech es nachalosech. Re'im v'naseim ad olam. As Barnea says, take out the moderators.